Penguin Random House Audio presents The World, A Family History of Humanity by Simon Sebag Montefiore. Read for you by
Simon Sebag Montefiore.
A Jazz Howard.
Akko Mitchell.
Anna Cordell.
Aisha Dhaka.
Damien Lynch.
Gunnar Kothri.
Jonathan Ayres.
Kevin Shen.
Lara Sawala.
Leighton Pugh.
Lucien Msamati.
Nabia Akari.
Neka Koye.
Rachel Handshaw.
Raj Gatak.
Samuel West.
Simone McIntyre.
Sue Lin Louis.
And Waleed Akhtar.
This book is dedicated to my darling son, Sasha, and it's in memory of my parents, Stephen and April. Preface. This is a world history that I wrote during the menacing times of COVID lockdown and the Russian invasion of Ukraine. There are a million ways to do such a thing. Hundreds of historians, starting in ancient times, have done it their way. Most universities now have professors of world history, and scores of such works are published annually, many of them brilliant, and I have tried to read them all. No book is easy to write, world history harder than most. Words and ideas pour out of my head, wrote Ibn Khaldun, composing his world history, like cream into a churn. There has been much cream and much churning in the writing of this book. I've always wanted to write an intimate human history like this, in some ways a new approach, in other ways a traditional one, which is the fruit of a lifetime of study and travels. I've been lucky enough to visit many of the places in this history, to witness wars and coups that play a part in it, and to have conversations with some of the characters who have played roles on the world stage and who appear in the book. When I was 11, my father, a thoughtful medical doctor, gave me an abridged version of the now pungently unfashionable Arnold Toynbee's A Study of History. Maybe one day, he said, you'll write something like this. And I spent hours of my youth reading histories of places and times that were not taught at my English school, where the study of the Tudors and Nazis dominated. This book has given me the greatest satisfaction of my writing life and presented the most daunting challenge. But I've suffered much less than many other historians. Ibn Khaldun saw both his parents perish of the plague. Sir Walter Raleigh wrote his world history while waiting to be executed, a condition that surely fostered the required perspective. But he was beheaded before finishing, an unbearable thought. History has a special, almost mystic power to shape and, if abused, to distort the present. And that's what makes history writing an essential and noble, but dangerous profession. Sima Qian, the Chinese world historian, born circa 145 BC, was accused of defaming the emperor and given a choice between execution and becoming a palace eunuch. He opted for the castration so that he could complete his history. Before I had finished my rough manuscript, he wrote, I met with this calamity. If it may be handed down to men who appreciate it and penetrate to the villages and great cities, then though I should suffer 1,000 mutilations, what regret should I have? Every historian, every writer shares that dream. Sima Qian was in my thoughts as I wrote this. Introduction. As the tide fell, the footsteps emerge. The footsteps of a family walking on the beach of what is now a small village in eastern England, Happisburg. 5 sets of footprints. Probably a male and 4 children, dating from between 950,000 and 850,000 years before the present. These, discovered in 2013, are the oldest family footprints ever found. They're not the first. Even older footprints have been found in Africa, where the human story started. But these are the oldest traces of a family. And they are the inspiration for this history of the world. There have been many histories of the world, but this one adopts a new approach, using the stories of families across time to provide a different, fresh perspective. It is one that appeals to me because it offers a way of connecting great events with individual human drama. From the first hominins to today, from the sharpened stone to the iPhone and the drone, world history is an elixir for troubled times. Its advantage is that it offers a sense of perspective. Its drawback is that it involves too much distance. World history often has themes, not people. Biography has people, not themes. I hope to combine the two. The family remains the essential unit of human existence, even in the age of AI and galactical warfare. I have woven history together, telling the stories of multiple families in every continent and epoch, using them to tether the onward rush of the human story. It's a biography of many people instead of one person. Even if the span of these families is global, their dramas are intimate. Birth, death, marriage, love, hate. They rise, they fall, they rise again, they migrate, they return. In every family drama, there are many acts. This is what Samuel Johnson meant when he said, "Every kingdom is a family, and every family is a little kingdom." Unlike many of the histories that I grew up with, this is a genuine world history, not unbalanced by excessive focus on Britain and Europe, but rather giving Asia, Africa, and the Americas the attention they deserve. The focus on family also makes it possible to pay more attention to the lives of women and children, both of whom were slighted in the books I read as a schoolboy. Their roles, like the shape of family itself, change through the arc of time. My aim is to show how the fontanelles of history grew together. The word family has an air of coziness and affection, but of course, in real life, families can be webs of struggle and cruelty too. Many of the families that I follow are power families, in which the intimacy and warmth of nurture and love are at once infused and distorted by the peculiar and implacable dynamics of politics. In power families, danger comes from intimacy. Calamity, as Han Fei Tzu warned his monarch in 2nd century BC China, will come to you from those you love. History is something very few people were doing, writes Yuval Noah Harari, when everyone else was plowing fields and carrying water buckets. Many of the families I choose are ones that exercise power, but others embrace enslaved persons, doctors, painters, novelists, executioners, generals, historians, priests, charlatans, scientists, tycoons, criminals, and lovers, even a few gods. Some will be familiar, many will not. The lurid coexists with the cozy. There are many loving fathers and mothers, but we also meet Fatso Ptolemy IV, who dismembers his son and sends the parts to the child's mother. Nadir Shah and Empress Iris blind their own sons. Queen Isabella tortures her daughter. Charlemagne possibly sleeps with his. Ottoman power mother Cosem orders the strangling of her own son, and in turn is strangled on the orders of her own grandson. Valois potentate Catherine de' Medici orchestrates a massacre at the wedding of her daughter, whose possible rape by her sons she has condoned. Nero sleeps with his mother, then murders her. Sharka kills his mother and then uses it as a pretext to launch a massacre. Saddam Hussein unleashes his sons against his son-in-laws. The killing of brothers is endemic even now.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?